Ladies and gentlemen,
you want experience during your football season? Well, buckle up, sweet cheeks.
That's all we need.
We've got all the experience in the world. This is I Want Your Flex with Dan Beyer and Mike Harmon. Mike and Dan break down everything you need to set your lineups. From position rankings to starts and sits, the guys help you make those hard decisions. And now, let's get your flex on. Here's Dan Beyer and Mike Harmon.
Week two is in the books. Thank goodness. Thank goodness this atrocity is over with, Mike. Nobody's going to get hurt on Tuesday because nobody really practices on Tuesday. My goodness, do I feel bad for fantasy football fans who had the likes of Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, or even for those that may have had Michael Thomas and thought, geez, maybe they could have taken advantage of that Raiders secondary. Injuries, the story of the National Football League as we are 2 weeks in to this 2020 campaign.
It was absolutely absurd. As you know, on Sundays we've got a full staff of editors. Everybody's fired up and ready to grab all the highlights. You do Red Zone Radio, right? So you got all the touchdowns flying and all the big plays from the early games, and they're just sitting down. So they have a scramble moment right away as Mostert sprints for the 80-yard touchdown. I'm like, touchdown Niners. Like, wait, what the hell? Like, yeah, it kicked off and he sprinted. Get the audio. Come on, now. Turn it around. And they're like, wow, that was fast. I'm like, yeah, that's the way this works. And then update by update became injury and another big injury. And what happened in San Francisco? Hell, they did an investigation of the field to try to figure out what went wrong when you had to bring the cart ran out of gas. It was coming back for so many 49er players. Just an absolute wasteland when it's all said and done. And it wrapped up a bunch of our fantasy stars, so it gets everybody nervous that this is the year of injuries. But also, guys like Paris Campbell, right? You picked him up saying, yeah, breakthrough. And now he's done. So, indefinitely with a PCL injury. So, it's one of those where you're just like, all right, now how do I go through? I told you before the season, man, handcuff, handcuff, handcuff. And it's never been more true.
Let's take a quick snapshot of what happened in Las Vegas on Monday night. Because the Michael Thomas absence was pretty apparent. And I'm not sure on how many people jumped on Emmanuel Sanders thinking, well, this is going to be a boost. It was not. You have severe concerns about Drew Brees going forward. Raiders were great, but we don't like to talk about great because you know great. You could see great. What worries you about number nine in the Bayou going forward, with or without Michael Thomas on that team?
Yeah, I mean, look, not that Drew Brees has ever been a wing it downfield guy with great regularity, right? His entire career has been defined by short and intermediate routes. Not unlike Derek Carr across from him this week, right? Is there are guys that, you know, you're not looking for air yardage. And Michael Thomas is certainly not an air yardage guy. I mean, we go back last year, I was going through some of the numbers. I mean, Drew Brees was injured, but would you want to venture a guess how many passes he threw beyond 20 yards a year ago?
I'll say 20.
25, okay, and he missed five games. How about 2018?
35.
48. But the point being, I mean, that's three a game.
Sure.
I mean, that's not stretching the field. That is work efficiently because the numbers are gaudy, right? So you would think, oh, big numbers that way. No, not at all. You know, and obviously we've watched him, so we know it leans more towards the short plus yak in the vein of Tom Brady and the Patriots. But right now his timing is off. And how much of that is a preseason that was truncated? How much of that is age, familiarity with some of these receivers? But, you know, Emmanuel Sanders was there, right? They had picked him up. Traquan Smith had been there. Jared Cook had been there. So, I mean, it's all component parts. Alvin Kamara out of the backfield. So it's not like you brought in, like, four new guys that he's got to try to acclimate to. This isn't Brady going to Tampa. So that leaves me a little bit concerned because the Raiders stink defensively. Okay, there's no way to cut through that. They're not good. But they look pretty good against him today because the throws were off. And they were open throws that he missed.
Alvin Kamara, I thought would pick up the slack, and it was the case. He had a great game tonight, fantasy-wise. On the other side, you mentioned Derek Carr. I am hesitant to give the rave reviews that so many made of him after. It is one game. The Saints defense didn't seem maybe like the Saints defense that I thought they would be. The Raiders battered them. I mean, they were going to run Josh Jacobs, and he got 27 carries, but my big takeaway with the Raiders isn't necessarily Derek Carr, because I still wouldn't trust him. It's Darren Waller and the enormous target count that he had on Monday night. And not only with the 16 targets and the 12 receptions, Mike, remember, this is a guy that scored 3 touchdowns last year. So in a short yardage situation, they did actually use him on the goal line. So if you did draft Darren Waller, I think that's a big boost in your confidence in moving forward for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I'm looking for a box and one going forward, Dan.
Right?
I mean, when it's all said, no, who the hell else do you have to worry about?
Nelson Aguilar.
But in all seriousness, right? Edwards, 2 catches. Zay Jones made a great diving catch. That was his only catch of the game. Great celebration with the hand sanitizer. Renfrow had 3 catches. Jacobs had 3 out of the backfield. It's one guy. He's the only guy you have to worry about. 16 targets, 12 receptions, and most of the time there wasn't anybody within 10 feet of him. Even on that touchdown play that he scraped off, it's like, how do you lose him? Right? How do you lose this guy? He had 90 catches a year ago. So all that says is look how good he is at boxing out, creating space, and giving Derek Carr a bullseye like no other.
His value is going to be huge. There are going to be shootouts like this, or scores where you're going to have 50 to 60 points in them, and Darren Waller is going to be a guy. All right, let's take week two as a whole. We started out with the injuries. Let's specifically deal with a couple of big ones. Saquon Barkley, done for the year, torn ACL. Is this the Wayne Gallman show? What happens with the New York Giants moving forward?
I would suspect we see Gallman a bit like we did last year. It was Deion Lewis primarily in this one, why they were behind. So knowing his acumen as a pass receiver, you'll see him in those sets and probably third down and those situations. But I got to think it's Gallman. And it really becomes a question of, all right, am I buying in just because he's the guy?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what is he, a back-end number 2 or a flex play? Because you might get some volume, right? We're certainly not looking for great things, and this Giants team is not good, Dan, in case you missed that.
No, they aren't. There were a bunch of teams, I'm sure, after week one that said, all right, I went in on Ronald Jones if he was for some reason available. Malcolm Brown, same situation. Who knows what's going to happen with the Rams backfield, because now it could be Jared and the Hendersons. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I just made that up. I don't even know if it makes sense.
Going back to the Yeti movie. I like that.
But the point is maybe there's just an opportunity for a team and you can roll that dice. Would you roll the dice on Mike Davis in Carolina with Christian McCaffrey out?
Well, I mean, look, he's going to catch some balls, right? He's going to catch, like, he had 8 receptions in comeback mode. So I guess you look to it there. He was in Chicago, so watched him behind the Bears offensive line. Had flashes, but could never unseat whomever was around him. So
now, yeah, I wasn't inspired either.
Yeah, so I mean, he's a guy, like, I'd go back to Henderson. He's only 30% rostered at the moment. Brown's hurt. Akers has a rib injury, so you had Malcolm Brown, you had a fractured finger, I think it was, right?
He's going to play week 3, by the way. Brown's not going to miss any time, but that backfield now just continues to be a bit of a mess.
Yeah, I'll look for creativity. That's the curiosity going forward with McVay, right? That's what he showed in week 2. And I think he'll ride the hot hand. And certainly Henderson's a guy you were waiting on last year, at least for the moment. 121 yards on 14 touches should earn him a little bit of work.
I am trying to figure out a way to figure out what's going on in Denver. But with the Cortland Sutton injury, not that you would want to jump on Jerry Jeudy or if Jerry Jeudy was available, But Jeff Driscoll wasn't too bad in Drew Locke's absence. I just don't know how that shakes out moving forward. I wouldn't use any waiver claim or any of your fab on it. I would have just, you know, in a situation like that, you just, I don't know, maybe look for some value. Look for receivers who stunk for the first 2 weeks or maybe haven't lived up to their potential. Maybe try to throw a trade offer out there. I could see some owners willing to maybe trying to cut bait because a lot of people will react to the first 2 weeks.
Well, certainly some buy low opportunities are going to be out there based on some early struggles. And look, it's never been more magnified in media than it is now, right? Where those teams and whose guys have failed you. Like, normally we can find when you have a substitute like a Driscoll coming in, you've got enough in the preseason and in the workouts where you can say, all right, second team guy's going to elevate because of an injury. And these two guys have worked. These guys have worked together, right? And I guess to some degree we'll see that with Judy, maybe just because of the athleticism, you try to feed him the ball. But your chief beneficiary, at least for the moment, is going to be Noah Fant, who's going to see even more work, right? The guy, inexperienced dude, gets the bulk of the touches. But, yeah, I mean, Denver is just tough right now, the number of injuries that they've had through 2 weeks.
I think just if you take them and you take the 49ers, I mean, I don't know if Ricky Waters is going to come back. Are we going to go back to Roger Craig? What are we going to do in that backfield? But you know, just for that team, I mean, I could have made a Joe Montana lame joke or a Steve Bono with Jimmy Garoppolo's injury. There's going to be at some point where they are hurt by it. I don't know if maybe their defense won't be as good. Maybe that'll help some opponents in the offensive for when you face the 49ers. But at some point, there's going to be a lot of catching up to do for a team that already didn't have George Kittle against the Jets, obviously didn't need him, and Debo Samuel is out. I wouldn't even know how to put together a mass unit if you were looking at 49ers.
Well, you saw what they did to the Jets, which tells you everything you need to know about the Jets.
My goodness.
I mean, you had death by a thousand paper cuts in terms of the San Francisco offense and defense, and yet they still blew out the Jets. So more Jerick McKinnon. I think he becomes more a runner. He was a receiver mostly, had a couple of big plays here as a runner.
Think about that. Think about if you were playing the 49ers and you told the Jets, I want you to take five guys off of the 49ers and play them on Sunday. You'd be like, all right, Bosa, gone. Kittle, out. Yeah, Mostert, he's pretty good too. We don't need him set. Like, that's basically what you did. Like, you could have taken the top five 49ers and they still got boat raced at home. Like kudos to the Niners, but to your point, with the Jets. I mean, that's absurd.
Well, but now we got Nick Mullins if Garoppolo can't go. So we can sing, everything's going to be all right. Rockabye. By the way, you know who they're playing in week three? The aforementioned New York football Giant.
Oh, yeah, the Giants, because they're at the Greenbrier. That's right. They're staying there all week.
So to hell with it, right? You could run out the second unit and probably still beat this team.
I believe it was the G-Man. I had to get that one in there. All right. Okay, Sunday night, what a show by the quarterbacks. With Russell Wilson and Cam Newton. The amazing thing with what the Seahawks have done is Russell Wilson is on pace to throw 72 touchdown passes this season. Probably not going to get there. But what I find truly amazing with what the Seahawks have done and what Wilson has done is over these 2 weeks, there isn't a guy on that team that you now say you have to have that you wouldn't have drafted. Because you would have had Tyler Lockett drafted, DK Metcalf would have been drafted, Chris Carson would have been on your team. You're not going to add Carlos Hyde. You're not going to add David Moore. But it shows you on how much Russell Wilson is spreading the ball yet still getting the football in the hands. I mean, Carson's been better as a receiver in these first 2 weeks, but that was what was amazing to me just to see that. And I mean, Cam was Cam. I mean, is Cam back to being a top 10 fantasy quarterback and considering what we saw on Sunday night and what we saw in week one against the Dolphins?
Yeah, I mean, back-to-back weeks. I mean, first to Seattle. The thing with Russell Wilson, I think through 2 weeks, you know this as well as anyone, right? Two more incompletions than touchdown passes right now through 2 weeks. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. But playing well and you know, you always know he's going to bring it. I mean, I'm a little concerned about the defense, right? I know Michael Bennett's kind of chirping, saying he'd love to finish as a Seahawk. Whether he's worth bringing back at this point, I don't know. But to try to bolster things, because Cam Newton had a lot of time to work. Right, and the only guy that you can trust on a regular basis at this point is Julian Edelman and Jamal Adams. Look, out of the slot, like, I'll play slot receivers against Seattle all day long right now. Right, 2 weeks in a row, guys had their way. But, you know, Newton winging the ball. Go back to 2018. I mean, he threw the ball well before he got hurt. And for him, it's all just a matter of, well, when's the hit come that takes him down? Like, while he's playing and moving well and the legs are sound, he's a top 10 play back-to-back weeks, right? 1 week with his legs, this week with his arms. So, yeah, let's get him in. Except I think he saw the yellow line when he left. At the leap, because he was nowhere close to the goal line. So did he see the yellow line? It's supposed to be imaginary.
If he would have bounced it outside... No, like, the Seahawks were in sellout mode.
See, I thought it was going to be a naked boot out the back door.
Yeah, he had a lot of room. One other point to make on the whole Cam Newton sort of thing, combined with what the Seahawks have done, or I should say not have done, Cam probably didn't have to run as much because there wasn't pressure really on him to pass the ball. It is also another reason, as you said, with the defense. It's why I was high. The Seahawks failed to address their pass rush this offseason. They say that they may within the building, but time and time again, they were in on a lot of guys, or thought to be in on a lot of guys. We know how Clowney played out. They didn't get Everson Griffin. Clay Matthews is still out there and isn't coming in. They needed to address it, and they failed to do so. Even though LJ Collier was their first-round pick a year ago, that is finally playing this year, definitely not nearly enough, and that's why you could see Seattle continually to do this, which is kind of making the transition to Dak. Is I'm wondering if is this what we're going to get more with the Cowboys in terms of their contest and not being able to stop anyone, because Dak put on a fantasy show on Sunday.
Fantasy show in that second half. They come back, they get the victory, the improbable spinning dervish that mesmerized five Atlanta Falcons, and they just watched it spin like I don't even know how to describe it. It's one of the dumbest plays I've ever seen. And Arthur Blank basically said, this is bullet point number three when I fire him. At some point, they didn't know what was going on. But, I mean, you look at CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper had 6 for 100 for fantasy purposes, right? It's not the windfall perhaps you wanted overall, because, I mean, it's a low WR2 performance. We'll get into that in a little bit. But and Michael Gallup was a no-show, but you still move the ball. Zeke, that trucking of dude at the goal line, is about as good as you get. And if Dak's going to call his own number like that for fantasy purposes, you might as well just start dancing now if you're going to get those kind of touchdown numbers, right? Because we always talk about those as bonuses, right? Wing the ball around, get me my 275 and two, and then if you're going to run a bit, we're into bonus time, and that defense is no good. No Van Der Esch, no Sean Lee. We talk about the fact that the offensive line held together as well as it did in the second half, another indictment of what Dan Quinn's got going in Atlanta, right? I mean, there's no pressure. He's standing pretty in the pocket. It's like there's plenty of time in this game.
Yeah. The one thing going against the Cowboys is they're not likely to fumble, fail on a fake punt, and fumble in their first four possessions like they did on Sunday. But I don't expect many stops. And when you look ahead to week three, you've got a Dak Prescott-Russell Wilson matchup where we just talked about the Seahawks' issues on defense. Dallas has their own issues. Maybe it's a continuation heading into this weekend.
Looks like another big shootout. I think the over-under on this one's in the low 50s as we start the week. Man, there's no stopping, right? Dallas has no pass rush. Seattle has no pass rush. Those guys should be able to sit back and make big plays downfield. So I think we all win. It'll make your heart rate fluctuate, Dan. I know watching the Seahawks, we were talking about that a little bit, Jason Smith and I, you know, in Chicago, they're 2-0 and they're still calling saying, I can't watch this team. It's 3 hours of damn torture watching this team. It's like, but you're 2-0. It's like, it doesn't matter.
The Seahawks actually, in their recent history, have been slow starters. Where you come in week one, you're like, this is what we have. Like last year, they only beat Cincinnati by about a point. I think they won by one. I remember a few years back, they ended up losing in Denver and they lost in Chicago on a Monday night game. They had an opener where they lost to Green Bay a few years back. So they've been notorious a slow starter. This year, that is not the case and likely fantasy-wise to continue in week three. Speaking of fast starts, I got to tip our hat to our celebrities because it's time for...
Even celebrities have fantasies.
Two chicks at the same time, man.
Who better to set your starting lineup than the stars themselves?
Hey, what's going on? It's Nick Lachey.
Hi, this is Daryl Hall.
And this is John Oates.
This is Snoop Deagle Double G.
Hi, this is Bob Eubanks from the Newlywed Game.
They rack 'em, we rank 'em. It's Celebrity Selections.
All right, in week two, our celebrity contestant was comedian Jeff Cesario. And he played Aaron Rodgers of the Packers against the Lions, played Raheem Mostert of the Niners against the Jets, and his wide receiver slash tight end that he took, wide receiver or tight end, took DeAndre Hopkins of the Cardinals against Washington. Did not have enough to pass Josephine Scriver for first place, who had 65.5 points for week one. But Jeff had 60.7 points and didn't get a second half from Raheem Mostert. So this is going to be a pretty good score, I think, throughout the season. But it's, oh, what could have been if Mostert would have been available later for the Niners.
Especially when he hits 23 miles per hour going down the sideline. Good God, he may be the fastest land mammal when he's right. So, I mean, I got to see. Like, what's his speed going to be while he's got an injury? 15?
I think it was either ESPN or the NFL Network. Maybe it was NBC. I can't remember. But they put a stat up that said how many defenders touched Raheem Mostert on his touchdown run, and it just stayed at zero. And I thought it was very clever, so kudos to the graphic department for thinking about that. If Raheem Mostert would have been there for the Niners in their game against the Jets, maybe Jeff Cesario could have passed Josephine Scriver, but right now he's going to have to sit in second place with his 60.7 total. We've got one heck of a celebrity coming up. I already know who it is for this weekend, and it's going to be good, but we'll have to reveal that in our next podcast. But I feel that I left my heart in Paris this past weekend because it's time to dive in to our epic fails. Let's hear it.
Epic fail.
Okay, I have got a bunch. Mike, this is where I feel really bad, but I also don't feel as bad as maybe I would think, because we make predictions each week and I'll throw stuff out there. You'll put stuff out there because you don't throw stuff out there like I do, because you have your research, you have your numbers. It's not that I don't do my research, I just don't do what you do. But I had a bunch of predictions and they all stunk. Okay, this is what I told you a week ago, and then we could get to yours. I told you to play Paris Campbell.
Epic fail.
I hope I didn't call him Paris Hilton, but by the way, that's a great combo for the Colts wide receivers, Paris and Hilton. Has anybody ever thought about this? Is this new? Maybe I'm late to the party?
I can't say that I have, but I mean, now you got it, so let's go.
So I told you to play Paris Campbell. That was an epic fail. In my give me one reason where I put give me one reason to play Paris Campbell, now he got hurt, so that's not necessarily my fault. I said don't play Russell Wilson because it'll be the toughest defense he faces. He only threw 5 touchdown passes on Sunday nights.
Epic fail.
Yeah, he was only 6th amongst quarterbacks, though, so you did okay.
I said that CeeDee Lamb would get into the end zone. I even did a song. That was a huge
epic fail.
I told a tweeter to play Nyheim Hines over Deontay Johnson. I just didn't get it until afterwards. By the way, find us on Twitter at IWantYourFlex, at Swollen Dome, and at Dan Beyer on Fox. I was still on the Scotty Miller train. He had 2 catches.
Epic fail.
another epic fail. And I said Josh Jacobs would be in the end zone twice on Monday night.
Epic fail.
And there were probably more. I completely failed you in week two. I promised to bounce back in week three. What did you hit? What did you miss in week two, Mike?
All right. Well, we'll start with the hits because eventually I got to go to the confessional. Between the podcast and what we do, I mean, all the fantasy hits and whatever, I'll take some credit for being – I mentioned Amari Cooper before. I was not – thinking he would have the big game, that it would be spread around, right? Getting to CeeDee Lamb and a lot of Ezekiel Elliott. 6 for 100, but that's 23rd at 16 points in a PPR league. So I'm going to take the win. Deontay Johnson just backing up the Brinks truck with that guy. And you look at it for week three, they got Houston. So you're feeling pretty good again, right? Miles Sanders in his return, I had more faith than I should have in the Eagles. So part of my 1-900 lose my ass challenge, the Eagles were one of the teams I picked. So I owe 5 miles on a treadmill. David Montgomery had 127 total yards with a touchdown, a nifty play by Mitch Trubisky early. That was good for eighth amongst running backs. Tannehill with his 239 and four. That's 26 fantasy points. We'll take it. It was the Jaguars. You know, so we'll take the wins where they come. And then in Miami, while it wasn't a monster performance, a full 80 total yards, including 6 receptions, made Gaskin the 22nd best scoring running back, which means it's starter numbers, right? And that's all you're looking for, that he doesn't fall off. Now, for the laundry list of fails, like I'm in a confessional going back when Catholic school as a kid. Tom Brady, I had him as my number 5 quarterback. 8.7 fantasy points, Dan. 29th for the flipping week. That's what you got out of Tom Brady as Leonard Fournette ran wild. And don't forget about Ronald Jones. He got into the end zone because this is a tag team play. He got into the end zone, but he lost that fumble, and that we never saw him again.
Epic fail.
That was it. Bruce Arians said, I'll see you in hell. It was almost like Bill Belichick was coaching. He's like, I got another guy. You know what? Meet the new guy. He's taking your reps, and he's going to run people over 102 yards and a couple of scores for Fournette. Lazard, 3 for 45. That was 68th amongst wide receivers. Adams, 3 for 36. Look, we all got hurt because of the hamstring injury. David Johnson, expecting some work in garbage time as a receiver. No, I didn't get that. He was 47th for the week, just finishing with 50 total yards.
Epic fail.
And Todd Gurley gave me all of 61 rushing yards. That was good for 50th among running backs. So let's bounce back. Let's find some wins.
The Vikings are trying to find some wins. So are the Philadelphia Eagles. You mentioned the Miles Sanders, which was really the only positive that Philadelphia got on Sunday, was he had a decent game in his season debut. There are zero positives when it comes to the Minnesota Vikings after 2 weeks. None. I can't even make up one of what would be positive for the Vikings. And then you talk about the Jets and Texans. Now, I'm willing to give the Texans a bit of a pass because it's Chiefs and Ravens to start out, something that we talked about. But just to look how they were just overmatched, and what you saw was the cream of the crop in the AFC, and they saw it for the last 2 weeks, and to see where they are for fantasy wise, you got to still play Deshaun Watson, I think, and maybe you still play David Johnson, but that's the only two guys that I would think about with the Texans. The other teams, I still stick with Thielen, but and obviously you're going to stick with Dalvin Cook, and you're going to like Miles Sanders, but I can't find any value in any of those teams. I point them out because there are other 0-2 teams, but I think those teams and the way that they've lost and how they've gone about it stand out more than the others that are winless so far.
I mean, with Philadelphia, you would think they were in a spot for a bounce back. Not necessarily that they'd win outright, but we don't know what the Rams are. We know Aaron Donald can throw people around, but Lane Johnson coming back to that Philly offensive line, thought continuity, you got your veteran back, so Carson Wentz will be more comfortable. Look, you don't trust any of the receivers outside Ertz and Goddard, I mean, we know that. I mean, I'm not trusting DeSean Jackson in my lineup until, well, maybe this week after everybody's hurt. But, you know, I'm not going anywhere near that. Like Carson Wentz right now, we'll get to waiver wires. I might be looking at his backup as a stash and wait and see if this if the rails truly come off of this thing. We go through and wow, it's just so bad.
Yeah, there's no one on the Jets, right? I mean, you're not playing anybody.
No, the Jets are done unless it goes back to the Giants, right? Unless they pick one guy and you say, like LaMichael Perine ends up becoming the starter and they just say, let's see what the kid has. Well, he's still playing behind a garbage offensive line with no wide receivers, and Sam Darnold looks worse than all of the first and second year quarterbacks that are playing.
Well, it's man, if I'm a Vikings or Eagles fan or a Texans fan, and the hope that you had, I had Deshaun Watson as my MVP. I was debating either him, Russell, Kyler Murray were my three, and I'm not saying it because Wilson and Murray are likely your front runners right now, but the point being is I just thought that maybe Deshaun would shoulder a lot of the load, they'd have success. You know, like, look at what he did without DeAndre Hopkins. This is Deshaun Watson. And I just watched on Sunday, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. Will Fuller's hurt again, and he's getting stretched on the sidelines, and they've got nothing.
Yeah, I mean, he's hurt again. Watson finishes 21st for the week. You got the fighting, infighting a little bit. J.J. Watt calling out teammates, right? The ejection that, you know, he wasn't happy with. So a little bit of discord, and you know my feelings on Bill O'Brien. I rarely call for coaches to be fired. You lose a playoff game in that fashion, I don't care. You got me from A to B, so I'm always in the playoffs. But if you can't get me past B to where we're at least making progress towards C, you're done, right? And you traded away a lot of talent, and you traded away a guy who shows up, basically puts his bag on the sideline and starts catching 15 flipping balls a game. So, like, I mean, you gave that away, and now you look at, well, the schedule makers did them no favor. I wanted to go back to Minnesota for a second. Does Danielle Hunter coming back after week three solve anything? I say no.
No, I don't think so either. And there's more questions about Kirk Cousins and that offense and the absence of Stephon Diggs.
Stephon Diggs and his 153-1 for the Bills this week.
I'll just say this. I'll make the days of the Chris Carter, Randy Moss, Jake Reed trio are a long, long ways away when you see what you've got with Kirk Cousins and what he's got to throw to in Minnesota right now. It seems like Devontae Freeman has been in the NFL since we've been growing up. Actually, I do remember him at Florida State, so that's a bad joke. The point being, he's not on a team right now but could be headed to New York. Let's look at the weekend waiver wire heading into week three. What do you see on the waiver wire that could be appealing for people needing some help entering week trace?
Well, if Jack Doyle's still out, you got Mo Alley-Cox, 5-for-111, and shot put Phillip Rivers is looking for a little bit of love. You were mentioning Paris Hilton. So Paris Campbell's out a while. T.Y. Hilton, snap counts down. You're seeing more of Michael Pittman. Why? He helps in the run game. So he's a curiosity. I don't think I'm picking him up yet, but 6 catches, 8 targets, 47 yards, hardly rostered in any league. So I think we push that away for the moment. Robbie Anderson getting a big target count, 18 through 2 weeks. He's only rostered in 38% of leagues. Russell Gage, despite the monster week one. And if Julio Jones would catch that ball, he would have gotten some extra big bonus points. And maybe we would have never had an onside kick. Catch the ball, Julio. Your fantasy owners were really upset with you. But Gage has already got 21 targets on the year, Dan. And you're seeing a pretty good snap count, 160 yards. And he's available in about 80% of leagues. Keelan Cole, look, our favorite guy. I mean, I might actually order a Gardner Minshew jersey. I don't wear jerseys anymore. I might eventually try to find some connection to get one signed from my wall. I just love the way that kid plays. So Keelan Cole, and obviously Minshew himself, is still available in 2/3 of leagues, right? People haven't gone on board that. And you look at their week 3 matchup, they got Miami at home. So you got another opportunity for Minshew mania to continue. We talked a lot about the running backs earlier, so folks can refer that to. And one last one, good old rookie Joe Burrow. I've got two sneaky ones that I want to get your opinion on. But Joe Burrow's available in an awful lot of leagues, 509, 3-1 through the first 2 weeks. And you look at the week 3 matchup for them, he's on the road at Philly. So some opportunity, again, against a bad team.
I like Joe Burrow. I like Joe Burrow in two quarterback leagues. Depending on the matchup and who you have as your other guy, I like Joe Burrow that much. Because I also think they're going to be down. I don't think they're going to be throwing the football. Joe Mixon and the running game is yet to really take off. But I think that Joe Burrow is still going to get his. And the other name that I was going to bring up, because I think there's more to it no matter what Anthony Lynn says, is Justin Herbert's got the Panthers this week if he ends up being the starting quarterback, which I actually think that he will be the starting quarterback in week 3. So if you're in a tough spot or you're trying to figure out, all right, well, this isn't working for me, if Justin Herbert's out there, why not take a chance with it? Because I actually think there is a likelihood that he stays the quarterback no matter what Anthony Lynn is trying to tell us.
Oh, I concur. I think there's more to this, right? Because it was secret. Nobody knew anything. And, you know, I'm sitting there in our break room, our kitchen, with the 8 box up, and I just yell, "Herbert's head!" And again, everybody with the mad scramble to make sure that became the focal point. He finished 13th among quarterbacks, 3-11, 1-1, had the rushing touchdown. So there's value there. I think he plays this week. I really do. Why would you rush Taylor back? Now, I understand some of the reticence to do so, get that word out, and Anthony Lynn kind of backing it down, right? Taylor was his guy in Buffalo. Taylor was kind of his hand-picked guy to lead this team going forward, post-Philip, ball control, defense, get it done. But you can't deny the spark that the kid came and played with. But the idea is, if he then struggles in week 5, do you pull him? Right? Once you commit to Justin Herbert, you've committed to Justin Herbert, right? So you're going to take the good, to take the bad, like the facts of life, versus Tyrod Taylor. You might win games 17-13, 20-13, and it won't be sexy, and L.A. won't jump on board because they're too busy celebrating whatever the hell LeBron's doing. But I'm wondering if that isn't part of his logic, saying if it does go south and then you pull him, do you lose him? Do you lose the city? Do you lose your job?
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry about that. And I think head coaches now need to realize, because Hugh Jackson didn't do it, John Harbaugh did, and it saved his job in Baltimore, and look where they are now. You attach yourself to the young guy as soon as you can. That's the only way that you do it. You don't hold on and hang on. And I think Anthony Lynn is saying this stuff because he knows Tyrod Taylor isn't ready. So you continue this message and saying, look, I'm going to stick by my guy, knowing that your guy isn't going to be there, and it doesn't seem like you're handing Herbert anything. I don't think that they turn back. And listen, I told you last week, they're a 16-point-per-game team anyway with Tyrod Taylor. So you might as well have Justin Herbert be the quarterback of that team. And that's what I think you're going to see moving forward.
I got no issue with that. If you ran for government offices with that platform, I would vote for you. I got two guys to stash. Ready? Long-term plays if you got a deep enough bench. Jalen Hurts and Jameis Winston.
All right, let's look ahead to week 3, the Thursday night affair. If you want to get guys in, it is Dolphins at Jaguars. Battle of Florida. Again, the NFL knows what they're doing. They're like, well, we could have that small television window where only two markets get this game, or we could just splash it all over Thursday night football on the NFL Network before it goes to Fox. But you got the Fins, you got the Jaguars. Do you look for a Keelan Cole this week? Mike Gesicki, I'm saying get sick with Gesicki because he was off the charts. There's some plays here, I think, in Dolphins-Jaguars Thursday night.
Yeah, he's definitely in. That one-handed grab he made against the Bills was just flat-out ridiculous and should be on a shirt somewhere because he looked like he was sprawled out, like making snow angels.
He was great at Penn State, too. Like, I remember him playing, and so to see what he does, because he doesn't look like it in his uniform, but he's great. He's magnificent.
8 for 130 and a score this past week. Gaskin, again, he may not rush for a ton of yards, but he'll get it done in the passing game as well. So I'm looking at touch counts. Eventually, I think Matt Breida factors in, but for now, you got some plus matchups. Let's get Gaskin in. Minshew, we talked about. Cole, we get in. Certainly, you're playing them. And then James Robinson's a beast right now, right? 16, 102 and a score, 3 for 18 out of the backfield, 35 touches over 2 weeks. So there's value to be had here, so let's get it.
Devontae Parker, tough start for the Dolphins in their schedule-wise, but got in the end zone against the Bills in Week 2. So you start off Patriots-Bills. I think Parker I think he's an obvious play on Thursday night. Preston Williams and Ryan Fitzpatrick are not on the same page right now. Week 1, 7 targets, 2 catches. Week 2, 5 targets, just 1 reception. Not that you're dying to play Preston Williams right now, but I think that that's a ways down the line, so I would hold off on him. All right, let's wrap this baby up. 3-point conversion. 3 things you need to know before we meet again, Mike.
All right, backup. On the waiver wire, whoever you have at your running back position, if their backup is available, go claim them, okay? Attrition is going to be a real thing. Pittsburgh, the continued feast. They've got Houston. Everybody plays, everybody wins. I could make an argument that Claypool sees the back end of your wide receiver 3 position. And then as we go through, double down on Joe Cool. Like I said, give me some more Joe Burrow. And tagging on that, if I can give a guy a 6-pack, I'm trading for A.J. Green. You saw the huge target count last week. I don't think he's done. I think he's just getting himself right again. And I think there's some dividends to be paid second half of this year.
If I don't have Kyler Murray or Russell Wilson or Dak Prescott or any one of those top 5 quarterbacks, I'm starting Fitz or Minshew on Thursday night. Why not give yourself a reason to watch that game? I would do so because I think they're also going to put up some points. So there's my first of the 3-point conversion. Don't ditch Adam Thielen yet. Just don't. I don't have high hopes for the Vikings, but you're not going to get the value for him if you were to trade. You might as well try to see this through at some point. So there's no point in ditching him. It's just like if a stock dips, just wait it out. It could get up. Maybe you can sell at a bit of a later time. And again, don't believe Anthony Lynn. Justin Herbert's going to remain the quarterback of the Chargers. Don't buy this. Tyrod Taylor's going to be the guy. Tyrod Taylor's not going to be ready. So that's why you can say that. And Justin Herbert's going to start Week 3 against the Panthers.
Hey, Dan, why is it Herbert, not Hebert?
Because Hebert is H-E-B. And so this is the H-E-R. Get Mike Harmon on Twitter at Swollen Dome. I'm at Dan Byer on Fox. You can get the show podcast Twitter handle at I Want Your Flex. Send us in your questions as well. We'll read them on the show, especially if you have a lot of questions heading into Week 3. This show has been executive produced by the one and the only Lee DeLapp. You can get Lee on Twitter at Lee DeLapp. And we'll do this again in a couple of days. How about that, Mike Harmon?
We're going to celebrate Fitzpatrick and Gardner Minshew. I might start growing my mustache out.
I can't wait. We'll throw on the Jimmy Buffett and have a good time. We'll talk to you then. Peace.